Our scripture reading is from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Listen for the word of God. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe it if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him." May God give us ears and a heart to hear. In some ways, it's hard to preach familiar passages than it is to preach lesser known ones. In part, because as a preacher, I don't want to say the same thing over and over again. And I try to bring fresh bread every Sunday. I've never recycled a sermon. I try not to even recycle parts of a sermon because I have a desire to preach the Word of God, the transforming, invigorating, life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. And that desire was rekindled a little bit as I prepared for this message, the reminder that when we encounter God, we are changed by that encounter. When we have ears to hear, we hear, and things happen inside of us. And unfortunately, my performance doesn't often live up to my ambition, but it's my desire nonetheless to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way that we would all be changed. Another reason it's hard, though, to preach familiar text is because you already have your ideas about what it means. You've already done your thinking and studying and heard your teachers teach on that. And that's good. That's good. And that's just fine. But this is the living Word of God. And as much as we might feel more comfortable to take it and to set it aside and say we know what it says, it never lets us do that. It always says more. As much as we might like to put it in a museum to remind us of what happened, it's trying to speak into our lives today. We might say, "Oh, I know what this means," but it's more than that. So let's see what Jesus is saying through the Spirit to us today. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. That means that he was on the top tier of Jewish society, both financially, spiritually, and in terms of status. He's very holy. We sang the song, "Take Time to Be Holy." He was very holy in how he lived his life, very purposeful and deliberate. We all know people, and we've lived that life in parts ourselves sometime, where they never think down the road past the next curve. They're just sort of freewheeling it and flying by the seat of their pants, and they don't know what they're doing or how they're going to get to anywhere that they're going. That's not the Pharisees. They knew what they were here for, and they knew what their purposes were, and they devoted themselves to it. And Pharisees would have also been very familiar with the scripture. Matter of fact, most of them would have been able to quote you the entire first five books of the Bible by memory, to just recite it. They would have been immersed in it from the time that they were children, and they would have spent time every day in prayerful meditation and Bible study. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, so he comes to Jesus at night, in private somewhat, to confess his faith, because it wasn't very popular to go along with Jesus among the Pharisees. Too many of them saw him as a threat to what they were trying to do and how they were trying to run the show. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus when he can have a private audience. And I think in part to confess his faith, he says, "We know that you're a teacher from God, because you wouldn't be able to do the things that we've seen you do if God wasn't with you." Nicodemus knew Jesus' teaching was true, but it was more than that. Because when he says, "We know that your teaching is true," the first thing Jesus says is, "You must be born again, Nicodemus." It's more than knowing what Jesus says is true. Nicodemus asks, "How can you be born again?" And of course, he talks physically. How can a grown person go back into their mother's body, into her womb, and be born again? He can't quite wrap his head around it. I mean, we are very much part of this world, aren't we? When I ask you what you're going to do tomorrow, you think of earthly activities, don't you? If I ask you what you're going to eat next week, you think in terms of corn and chicken and fried potatoes, right? Or do you think of a banquet on the Word? Do you think of a banquet in the heavens to come? We're very much tied to this world because we live a physical existence in this world. And Nicodemus couldn't get past his physical view to understand what Jesus was talking about in a spiritual sense. We are so logical, aren't we? It has to make sense. We have to see how it fits together. Nicodemus asked, "How being born again is even possible?" But Jesus says, "It's more than that. Because even if you could, through medical science, be re-implanted into your mother and born again, you wouldn't get what Jesus is talking about. It's more than that. You must be born of the Spirit," Jesus says. The Spirit that goes where it wishes. As I read it a while ago, it struck me differently. I can see that sometimes we don't have ears to hear and the Spirit just moves over us. And then there are sometimes we are moved and shifted because we hear. There's no way to explain how one person gets it and how another person in the same group doesn't. Nicodemus gets a little frustrated, I think, at this point in the story. This is one of the longest conversations and interchanges recorded in the Gospels, where Jesus is dealing with a person. And I think Nicodemus is getting a little frustrated with Christ at this point. Do you ever get frustrated with God? I mean, be honest, I won't tell anybody. I mean, when He won't do what you expect, does that ever frustrate you and you expect God to help you with something and then you get there and you don't feel like God helps you? When you feel like that God's given you a promise or a word and then it doesn't turn out the way that you expected, do you ever get frustrated with God? You get frustrated with God when He allows things to happen in your life that you have already asked Him to remove or to take care of? Do you get frustrated when He won't take your good and your noble desires and let them be fulfilled? Maybe it's your job search. You get frustrated that God hasn't helped you yet find that employment. Or maybe you're frustrated with your spouse or your living arrangements. Maybe you're frustrated with preaching. And maybe you want to preach and you want people to hear and you want to see changes. Maybe you're trying to be a good husband or a good wife or a good child or a good parent and you're frustrated with yourself because you don't. And then you're frustrated with God because He doesn't seem to help you, even though you ask Him. And in spite of your best efforts, it just doesn't work out. Does that ever frustrate you? When what we have and what we want don't match up, we want more than that, don't we? We want more than that. It seems Jesus was a little frustrated with Nicodemus. Or maybe He's just smoothing off the ball peen hammer He's about to knock him in the head with. He's trying to get through to Nicodemus. Nicodemus who comes at night. Nicodemus who knows the Bible. Nicodemus who thinks he understands Jesus as a teacher. Nicodemus who's physically oriented in this material world. Jesus says, aren't you a teacher? Are you a teacher in Israel and you don't understand the spiritual realities? Perhaps Nicodemus' understanding of things was having a hard time giving way. You know, when we expect something to be, we sort of impose it on our minds. We sort of see what we expect to see, don't we? And when God's trying to do something that's different than we expect to see, we miss it. We can be so dense to overlook new things that God is doing. The Bible says, God says, behold, I do new things. Every day, God is up to something good. But we're so focused on the things that we're looking for and the things that we're trying to see. Maybe we get stuck because we don't ever stop and look up and see which way the wind is blowing. Perhaps Nicodemus was so focused on what he was thinking Jesus was going to do, give him some special teaching, or maybe Nicodemus had a question he wanted Jesus to answer, but he's so focused on that he can't follow what Jesus is talking to him about. Jesus is trying to give him much more than that. Maybe what he knew was interfering with what he needed to know. Have you ever had that happen? Where what you knew interfered with what you needed to know. Like maybe you're trying to get a spark plug in and you're trying to get the spark plug in and it just don't work and you clean it all out and you make sure the grooves aren't messed up. It just doesn't fit. And then finally you realize that's the wrong spark plug. What you think you know interferes sometimes with what you need to know. Jesus says to Nicodemus, I can't even tell you about the life to come because you can't even understand how God is working in this life. How can I talk to you about spiritual things and things in heaven and things to come if you can't understand what God is up to in the now, in the world today? And it's interesting to me, the terms used here by John in the Greek. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus in particular, but most of the yous, don't you know, and you, most of the yous in this passage are plural. We have you meaning both. You come help me. That can mean you individually or you as a group. But in Greek, there's a distinction. And most of the yous in this passage are the to the group. You all need to understand. See, because Jesus is speaking to us. He's not just speaking to Nicodemus. And Jesus seems to change gear. And it's hard to tell, really, verses 16 and following. It's hard to tell whether those are the words of Jesus or if those are the words of John, the gospel writer, telling us about Jesus. It's hard to say. But there's a shift. And it begins with, "For God so loved the world." God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son. God didn't send Him to condemn the world because the world is already condemned and caught up in sin. God's trying to avoid your damnation. He's doing everything He can to prevent you receiving the sentence that your sin deserves. God so loved that He sent His Son. He sent His Son not to condemn, but He sent His Son to save. To save. To redeem, to buy back, to rescue, to find. But it's more than that. As awesome as that is, it's more than that. It's that God knew the price of our redemption. The life of His Son. His execution as a sinner bearing the weight of the sin of the world. God knew that in advance and did it anyway. Jesus knew that the cross was His fate when He entered the world. He knew that that's what it would take. Even before the foundation of the world, He knew that that's what it would take. It's more than that, isn't it? Maybe we should do more than listen to the Word. Maybe we should do more than read it and memorize it and put it on a poster board during a ball game. You know, you always see that. You know, John 3:16. Maybe it's time that we live it. Maybe it's time that we apply it. Maybe it's time that we let it change us and transform us. There's no indication, as far as I can tell, how Nicodemus responded to the gospel that Jesus was sharing with him. Did he listen and repent? He came perhaps for some individualized teaching, but did he get more than that? He came maybe to flatter Jesus or to get a little extra something. But the Spirit invited Nicodemus to a new life. The Spirit was blowing. Even as Jesus talked about the Spirit coming and going, the Spirit is blowing on Nicodemus. Did he get it? Do you get it? Can we lick our finger and tell that the wind is blowing? Nicodemus came because he had some questions, I think, and he wanted kind of to have a conversation with Jesus. And I think that's why so many people come to church. We're hoping to get a little something to help us along. We're hoping to get a little encouragement or get a little peace or get a little comfort or get a little reminder. We're hoping to come and get a little something. But God gives so much more than that. We want a bite. He prepares a meal. We want the next step. He wants a lifelong walk with us. We want to improve a particular area. He wants our lives to be saved. In this passage, it is about knowledge. It's about knowing. But it's more than that. It's also about intimacy, the knowing that comes with relationship. It is about logic in making sense, but it's more than that. It's about the supernatural. It's about the divine encounter with this world. It is about good and God's goodness, but it's more than that. It's about God's love, which is best. See, love means you seek what's best for another. Even if it's unpleasant, even if it's uncomfortable, if it's what's best for them, love indicates and dictates that you do it. It is about life. It is about God being part of our life here, but it's more than that. It's about being born again to a spiritual life, to an eternal life that has no end. Sure, we'll be born here, we'll live a physical life, and we'll come to the end of that and we will die. Unless the Lord comes back and spares you that. But when you're born again, you're born a spiritual life, and it never ends. That life can't be revoked, and it can't be taken from you. It can't be altered. It can't be destroyed. It is yours. When you're born again, you are born a spiritual being in the image and likeness of God, and you will share His life forever. We can come to church for human fellowship, even for a connection with God, but it's more than that. We can study our Bibles for information, but it's more than that. We can know that God loves us, even believe it, but it's more than that. God gives us more than His affection. God gives us Himself in His entirety, in His fullness, in His goodness. He gives Himself. Even if it means to Him death, even if it means to Him a cross, even if it means separation and rejection and denial and contempt, He gives Himself anyway. Even if it means abandonment by those that He's loved and ministered to very personally and very closely, even if it means that, He will give Himself. Even if we can't get it through our thick heads, even if what we know interferes with what we ought to know, God still comes to us because God loves us. I wore a black suit today, black shirt, black tie, black socks. One of my socks is on inside out. You can't tell it, but I noticed it during Sunday school. Well, I got a little green on my tie. It's not just because I'm trying to be stylish for my lovely bride. It's not just that it accents my silver hair, right? It's more than that. The black is the death of me. The black is my flesh, caught up and corrupt in sin. But that green, that's life. That's newness. That's evergreen. And it can't be taken away from me. God loves us. He forgives us. He cleanses us and He saves us. And He gives us eternal life. What more could He give than that? Amen.